Hi, I'm Akhil Arora.
And I'm Rohan Nahar.
Welcome to The Long Take. This week, we're going back to Hogwarts. It's actually Return to Hogwarts with the Harry Potter reunion special that was available on Amazon Prime Video in India and HBO Max, like outside in the US, which is actually the reason it exists because they're trying to grow themselves. Pretty much like with the whole Friends reunion thing, what they had going on in the middle of last year, right? Like, that's pretty much the reason it exists, Rohan, right?
Yeah, I mean, HBO Max is doing a bunch of things. This isn't the only thing they're doing to kind of grow, especially in 2021, where they had some really bonkers kind of ideas.
Let's release every movie at the same time, for no charge as well. Like, not the Disney style where you charge $30. It's like, let's just go, like, everyone.
Which,
thank you.
You know, I'm not complaining about. I gotta see a lot of movies immediately.
Yeah.
But I guess I understand why people are angry.
Especially, yeah, people who are like, were waiting on their back dollar return, right, after profit.
Yeah, it was such an insane decision that they were like willing to let go of Christopher Nolan. They were like, worth it. Which is just insane, like, to my mind. I think he might come back if the leadership changes, because he's too much of a traditionalist.
And the company is, in a way, like, sort of going, like, away, right? Like, it's not going to be... Like, these decisions were made, like, in a way, almost, I feel like, you know, like, the AT&T and, like, that kind of thinking. Like, you know, let's just, like, burn and, like, make, like, new avenues. But now they're being sold out to Discovery, which is more like a... They're going to a more content-driven mindset again.
Although that is a discussion for another time, because Discovery is another, like, crazy... insane kind of platform. But yeah, this is one of the strategies that they've kind of used, which with the Friends, I feel. So I haven't seen the Friends reunion, I should point out.
Same.
But I do know that people were like, not like 100% sold, which I feel is...
Yeah, because it was also weird, right? Because they, like, it wasn't just the Friends cast. It was like, there was a moderator, and then there were, like, special guests coming in.
And the moderator was like James Corden, who is not...
who has a penchant for basically, like, stealing the spotlight.
But the thing was, the Friends reunion was something that was advertised for, it seemed like, 35 years. Like, before Friends even aired, they were advertising the Friends reunion. Because it feels like it's been kar rahe, then COVID happens and like, wait,
you're almost... everything put on like back burner, yeah.
And by comparison, Harry Potter feels like 3 months ago they were like, we also did one for Harry Potter, and you were like, what?
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, it was like a pandemic project for them, which is like weird for a company that the whole point is to like advertise it and grow around it. It's not like a new movie, it's like it exists so that they can, you know, advertise themselves. But, like, there was very little advertisement going on because it was such a packed thing. I think it was announced in, like, October, if I'm not wrong.
Fairly recent. I mean, the timeline's, like, fuzzy because of just, you know, pandemic year. But I don't think it was announced, like, a long time ago, because I remember...
Which, like, does that explain, like, why is it, like, it sometimes feels weird? Like, it begins with, like, you know, everyone coming into the Great Hall. At least that's what they're trying to sell it as. And then they never come back to Great Hall again?
They do. They do come back to the Great Hall occasionally. Not significantly, but there are like some cutaways to the Great Hall where Emma Watson...
Okay. So I just like feel like they were like sort of set this up that, you know, that Harry or like is walking towards the Great Hall. Like that's where they kick off it. But then I feel like majority of it is just like 2-3 people in some room and 2-3 people in some other room, and then just talking to themselves.
Majority of it is that. I think they filmed some sequences with Emma Watson, particularly in the Great Hall, meeting people. Right. So that they intercut throughout the special, which is like an hour and 40, around 45.
It's a lot.
And so basically, there are, broadly speaking, 4 or 5 different sets that they film in. All of which are in...
Yeah, this is all like part of the studio tour.
So,
the tour.
In addition to basically being like, you know, buy the books, watch the movies, etc. Buy HBO Max, obviously. It's also like visit the...
It's also like come to our... Yeah, like selling the theme parks as well now. I'm surprised they didn't like, you know, just for the sake of it, just like shoot like all over the world. They were like, chalo, thora LA bhi dikha do, thora Florida bhi dikha do, sab jagah aa jao. Don't just go to like the UK one. And then put it in the corner in the bottom. Film that Warner Brothers LA, फिर मैंने Warner Brothers Florida, फिर मैंने Warner Brothers Paris.
This is ये मतलब दो तीन लोगों को काफी बोनस मिला होगा just to like come up with this concept.
What's it called? Like what's the word for this? I forgot. It's like on the tip of my tongue. Like when you do like synergy, right? Corporate synergy.
Corporate synergy. Yeah. Some sort of corporate synergy. End में मतलब all the money goes to J.K. Rowling, so it's
which like is a whole probably episode in itself.
Yeah, that needs to be unpacked. But that's basically what this special
is. So, like, did you enjoy it? Or did you just think it was like a cash in and just like move on?
No. So, I know I know the cynicism and everything. But then...
No, but it can be cash in, but it can still be good, right? If you actually put thought into it. But like, was it just one or was it
both? No. So, I was sold from the basically first 5 seconds. I was like, oh, okay, you got me. Five seconds. Like, first the notes hit and you watch Emma Watson getting her letter and then Helena Bonham Carter getting her letter and then they're all going to the Hogwarts Express and then they come to the castle and then they enter the Great Hall and by that time you're like, oh shit, it's there. And then I was like sold, like the whole 1 hour 40. I was, yeah, like deeply, deeply back into the whole thing.
What were your favorite parts then?
Oh, I mean, favorite parts, I don't think I can identify like favorite parts, just the whole experience was kind of overwhelming, especially towards the end where everyone's like weeping. But I did kind of enjoy, and I don't know, maybe this is just because where my interests lie, but I didn't enjoy listening to all four filmmakers come back and, you know, talk about their journey with the franchise. And it's very,
yeah, I think that did that like nicely in the fact that, you know, it's not just like talking about the, like if you talk about the filming, you have to talk about the filmmakers, right? That's where it was shot, and that's why it was nice that, you know, they made, I think, I'm guessing they made, or Darren Radcliffe was just like started asking those questions, right? He would get with a filmmaker and he was literally asked, be like, oh, how did you get involved? Like, everyone knows our story because it was like so publicized, but like, how did you guys get involved?
No, but it's also like most of the conversations that Daniel Radcliffe or anyone else for that matter has in the special are conversations that they've had before. It's not particularly, it's not like new or fresh information in any way. This is all stuff that's been discussed with more depth and in more detail in like DVD bonus features. Now, the Harry Potter movies have come at a time when DVDs used to be a thing, right? And I have like all the DVDs and I've seen all the bonus features obsessively over and over again. And these are conversations that this is a format that they've used in those DVD bonus features in which they basically send Daniel Radcliffe from department to department talking to department heads, how did you do this? And
yeah, you are here, Harry Potter, go everywhere.
Yeah, which is essentially what the series itself is about, right? Harry Potter is learning as he's going
on.
So this has been done before, but I was just like, theek hai, there is the entire purpose for this thing is 20 years, right? So it doesn't matter if you're treading the same narratives or the same conversations over and you're revisiting those same topics. It doesn't matter because the only thing that matters and the only thing that is different is that 20 years have passed. So I can have,
well, at least since the,
it whatever began, whatever, like time has passed, you know. And I mean, I can talk about, say, Aranyak the week after it comes out, and I can talk about it 20 years after it has come out. That's fine, I can still talk about it, but the point is that us 20 saal mein kya hua, that is more important. And I think that is what the special does, is that what has happened to you in those years since you first worked on them and then you kind of grew up with them and now, and that I think it does very, very nicely in the sense that all of them have very different journeys. They've ended up in very different places, but they're kind of inexplicably linked, and that is a theme that the thing,
yeah, they're inexplicably linked because like for most of them Harry Potter will be the thing they'll be remembered for, right? If you like, and the obituaries are written in like whatever 30, 40, 40, 50 years, depending on who we're talking about, it'll be Harry Potter star XYZ.
Yeah, it like regardless of like she can win, Emma Watson can win 15 Oscars, But then it'll always be, you know, known for playing Emma, like Hermione Granger and Harry Potter.
Yeah, they got their breakthroughs, like the children stars, or they got their breakthroughs mm-hmm. through Harry Potter. Obviously, there's like a whole other world out mm-hmm. there. There's like the British, as the special acknowledges as well, there's like British royalty sprinkled across the movies. But for all the young actors, it's all like
Harry to the Potter point stuff. When Gary Oldman dies, he will be referred to as Harry Potter actor. Gary Oldman.
That would be sad though. Like he's done a lot more in his life. Also, like when he just like comes on screen in the Harry Potter movies, like you understand suddenly like what acting is, right? Like, cause these children stars, obviously, like they're growing, they're getting their, you know, hooks onto it. And then Gary Oldman shows up in like movie 3, 4, maybe he's a guy, I'll be back, he's back in 5. And then every scene with him, he's just like, you're like, oh yeah, like, okay, this guy knows how to act.
But that's been happening since the first movie. Now, I would argue, like, it's not like Richard Harris or, you know, any of those, like, Robbie Coltrane were bad actors, like Rickman. Like, they were all doing very, very solid work in the first and second movie. Yeah. And then, obviously, the third one kind of it's like more dramatic, it's more complex, and it has more, like, actorly moments, you know, it gives them like things to do, as opposed to come in and do your one scene quota mein jo hai tumhara transfiguration mein tum ek scene karo aur khatam.
Yeah, exactly, because like there's that brilliant scene, right, beneath the Whomping Willow, which is like a proper acting showcase for
which is one of the things that I did not ever like. So I've seen that movie like countless times. I've obviously like it's imprinted in my mind, I know that scene, but I never sat and thought about, oh, there are like four, like if these people were on stage, you wouldn't get a ticket, you know, if they were doing a play together. And yahan par tumhe aise milne ko dekhne ko mil raha hai, and they're talking about like weird magic stuff, and then you don't pay attention.
Yeah, killing a rat, that's what they're talking about. But it's the most fascinating thing ever.
Exactly, so you watch it, and it's partly the reason is like their performances are so strong that you don't think about the actors behind those characters, right? Yeah. Like it took me basically till last week to realize that, oh, it's like four major actors when Alfonso Cuarón reminded everyone. But before that, I was just like, huh, like Sirius Black is like having an argument with like Lupin, and like there's Pettigrew, and then Snape comes in, and like, that is how I think about it. And that was fascinating for me to be like, oh, it's taken 20 years for me to kind of understand, knowing this already, just not acknowledging
it. Yeah, it was different for me as well, because like I'm probably in the minority of that, you know, I have not seen these movies repeatedly. So like when I went back to them this week after the special, for me it was almost like, because like my appreciation of like film and actors has grown over time. So when I saw these movies as a kid, I didn't know who these guys were. I was just like watching Harry Potter movies, right? And then I watched them this week and I was like, oh my god, that's a very well-known actor. Oh, that's a very well-known actor. Oh, that's a very well-known actor. What are they all doing in these Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, it's weird because obviously like when you were young, and I think like my generation is kind of exact like this generation, like the Harry Potter generation, you know. I was 10 when I read the book first. So basically if you were young enough to wait for your letter to Hogwarts is the exact generation that kind of grew up with these stories.
Yeah, you literally grew up with it, because the books were like, and the movies and books like sort of like they were spread, I mean a distance apart, but they were still sort of like you were in a way growing up on both.
On both, exactly. So you'd wait for the books to come out, and then you'd like get the book, and then a year later a movie would come out, and then it'll just be like, oh yeah, I read that book, and like 2 years later, and then obviously the gaps became narrower as you went along.
Yeah, gaps became narrower, but although I feel like the frenzy talk over what they would change and what they wouldn't change sort of sometimes became wider at times.
See, I don't remember any of that. I remember being angry, not even angry, I just remember being like, oh, okay, that's new. But also because they reveal it in the trailer, is in the final movie, and they talk about this in the reunion also, he grabs onto Voldemort and they jump off the astronomy tower or whatever, which is not in the books, right? And of course there's like a million things that's not in the books and it's in the movies, and
and the whole like just like Death Eaters and I mean, I think Voldemort is the only one, if I remember correctly, who can actually make himself fly without a broomstick. And here just like David Yates came in the fifth movie and I was like, I'm just gonna create this like thing and we're just gonna roll with it, and every Death Eater just like starts flying around. Which, like, when I first saw it in Order of the Phoenix when I was, like, a kid, and then I just, like, after reading the book, I was like, what is going on? This is not allowed. You can't just, like, create a new mechanic. And I was, like, really annoyed at the movie. Like, I remember being back then. I actually, like, even visited back my, like, I think my IMDb rating this week, and I was, like, 5 out of 10 for Order of Phoenix. My rating as a kid.
No, so the opposite thing, and we aren't, like, following any sort of structure now, is that... Yeah. I remember not liking, for similar reasons, the fourth one. Because I remember thinking that fourth one mein kuch zyada hi hata diya hai. You know, like they've, because obviously, and even though I was very young at that point, I was kind of, I understood why. I was like, obviously you can't have like a 700 page book condensed into like a 2 hour movie. So they had to remove stuff.
Yeah, which was a complaint with the fifth movie as well, right? They had
which to I understand. So much. But then I think now, in hindsight, everyone kind of, looks at the third one as being like, oh, this is like a stylistic departure, which it is. And this is the one where it all changed. You know, it kind of set the blueprint for like what was to follow. Quran one. And it's like amazing. I remember watching the Quran one and being like, this is not allowed. Because obviously it rewrote the language. You were used to...
Yeah, and I think it made sense also because I feel like the first two movies are like actual kids movies, right? Because they are kids as well. They're 11, 12.
But then if you think about like, it, the leap is so drastic. It's so drastic. Yeah. Like, they could have found a middle ground, but they were like, no. It's just completely different from the first two. Or to the extent it feels like it's part of a different world. which at that point, I was like, what? They can go outside? Like, so your mind is kind of bound by what you've seen, right? And even though, ironically, it's a story about, like, imagination and, you know, like... fantasy, Hogwarts was what you'd seen in the movies and to an extent what you'd imagined in the books, which was you know, there were boundaries. And in the third one, he kind of goes outside. Like, they're walking around on the hill and Hagrid's hut is no longer where it used to be. It's like niche jaakar near the river.
Yeah, and the movie starts off like intentionally, like to like expand the world. Like, there's that, like, the Nightverse sequence almost like shatters your concept of like what was like Harry Potter language now, right?
Huh, it was completely different. And then but like my the point that I was coming to was we all look at the third one as being like this huge departure, but I feel the departure came when David Yates kind of leapt on board. Because the fifth one, it's equally bold in terms of what it changes up, and I think it can be argued even bolder because at that time you'd already seen 4 movies. Right. And
most of them, like even the third movie, for all its departures, it's still set at Hogwarts, right? The entire time.
Yeah.
And it's also, I thought, I think that works as well as us because it's one of the only movies which, like, I think, no, there's a couple more, but like, there's no Voldemort in it. And then when with David Yates comes in, he's like, okay, you've seen enough of Hogwarts. Now let's show you the world. Like, let's expand the world. Which I felt like, in a way, like, I have to credit Rowling for that as well because her book sort of keep expanding the like the world you imagine of Harry Potter, right? It's like, oh, you in 3 you're like Azkaban, in 4 you're like, oh, look at this, there are multiple like schools, there's not just like one school you thought of, there's multiple schools and now they're all competing, like that world expands. In the 5th they end up at the Ministry of Magic, the world expands again.
Yeah.
And so that way it's almost like because the world is expanding so much, your imagination expands with it, right? You're like, oh yeah, this much is possible, like, oh, even this exists and that exists.
Yeah. So, I mean, as the world expands, so does, like, the manner in which these films, you know, are made. And right. I think, obviously, it's... many years have passed, right? Since the first movie and the fifth movie. So, it's no longer... The cinematic influences have also changed. Right? It's been more than a decade at this point. So, something as simple as handheld cameras... You never seen them in a Harry Potter movie. Yeah. And then the fifth movie opens with like there are several shots of just like handheld cameras. I was like, so that not only adds like a degree of like realism in the non-Hogwarts scenes, in the private drive scenes, but then it also whacks you over the head of like, oh, like this is allowed? Like who knew? Like even Cuarón didn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly like no-brainers, like no absolute no-brainers like wand movements. It's something that the books have spoken about with a lot of like detail. Like, well, like, yeah, wand movies are different for every spell. But for 4 movies, they were just pointing and like yelling the spell, not really doing. In the fifth one, Yates comes and he's like gracefully doing like choreographed wand movements. The duels have like a style, like it's almost like, you know, like John Wick level of like just,
yeah, like the last, like the fifth movie ends with Dumbledore versus Voldemort, right? And that
which is incredible.
Yeah, not just that, like, the Dumbledore, it should feel Voldemort. Because like this should feel like an epic moment, right? Because it is the two greatest wizards that are known currently, or at least alive currently. So like if they meet, that moment has to mean something to audiences.
Yeah, and if you remember what the chapter was called in the book, Order of the Phoenix, when they actually fight, chapter's called The Only One He Ever Feared or something. Right? This is something that they've been building up for like 5 books now. Like, oh, yeah, he was the only one. Yeah. And then when they actually, the showdown happens, you're like, if you've read the book before watching the movie, you're like, ye kaise karenge? You know? And it's very well made. Yeah. They build it up, obviously, with the scene in which Sirius dies, which is a great action scene where all the Death Eaters descend.
It's a great action scene, but it's a great emotional scene.
Yeah, yeah. And you know why it works, right? Which is like a trick that a lot of smart people, especially in action, do. They cut the score. And so a lot of it is just like silent, like not silent, but like you hear, it's almost like gunshots. The spells, and then obviously it goes like full like bombastic action when Dumbledore fights Voldemort. So all this is like David Yates, and I think like in the reunion, Daniel Radcliffe talks about how Chris Columbus is like kind of underappreciated, like he kind of set the template for this whole franchise.
I feel like he had the hardest job, because like starting out is always the hardest, right? As you know,
and which he admits. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that he's working with like literal kids, like they haven't grown up yet, so just to manage these kids actor, which he like acknowledges in the special as well, like was a lot of work, and he was so also natural with them.
Yeah, I mean, like, but no offense, like he is Chris Columbus, so it's always going to be more difficult. Like he's not going to go on and make a Roma in his career. Okay, he's very much like, you know, Hollywood journeyman at this point. He's taken the gig because this is what at that point probably Warner Brothers wanted. It kind of tells you what Warner Brothers wanted, in fact. You know, they wanted like a kid-friendly kind of guy who had experience with franchises, basically. You know, someone who knows how to work.
Yeah, I think like studios are always that, right? Like no studio wants to experiment with the first one. They always want to put like a safe foot forward.
Which is the opposite of what it is like now, right? Right now, it's sasta jo milega, please le aao use. Gareth Edwards, $200, he spent first movie, gave him $200 million. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, like I guess it also depends on like the producers involved as well, right? David Heyman also shows up a couple of times here in the special.
David Heyman shows up. David Heyman and David Barron. I remember those two.
Yeah, so that also like decides a lot of things, because like if the producers like are like willing to experiment, then they can actually push the studio in a direction and be like, no. I think that's how Gareth Edwards happened. I don't know if I'm correct on that, but I think like because the producers were like, oh yeah,
Gareth Edwards or Chris Columbus?
Let's trust this guy. Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards where?
On like you were talking about like the... Were you not referring to Godzilla?
No, I was. No, I thought we were talking about Chris Columbus. Like David Heyman got Chris Columbus.
Okay. Yeah, I was. But I think you mentioned Edwards in between, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
No, so do you remember who was on the shortlist for Harry Potter, the first one, director?
No,
shortlist?
I have no idea.
So there was Spielberg. I mean, not shortlist, but Spielberg was approached. And this was Rowling's number one pick, Terry Gilliam. Imagine that. No, but the orders are like, excuse me, madam.
We're not. That's full experimentation mode, right? Like, who knows what he's gonna make?
Who knows?
He'll throw like the book out and be like, I'm gonna write my script like as I come on the set.
Are who knows if he's going to make it at all?
Who knows? He'll finish. He'll not finish only. He'll still make the first one, and then there'll be a documentary on that. So the reunion special, we'll have a documentary saying what's like Jodorowsky's Dune, right? So we have to have like that version of that.
Gilliam's Harry Potter. Oh no, it got flooded. Set got flooded. Sorry. Like how? How did the set get flooded? Gilliam left the taps on. Like some nonsense would have happened. But anyway, so like good dodge over there. They went for the safest choice, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, because Spielberg wanted to cast Haley Joel Osment or something. And Rowling was like, excuse me, no American.
Yeah, that was put in very early on.
So, yeah, safe choice. And I think it kind of paid off because the first two movies are safe movies. you know, it's not like a bold or like remarkable in any way. You're like, oh yeah, this is like a good adaptation of a story that is, to be honest, difficult to mess up, right? It's like a very airtight story.
They're copycat like structures as well, right? 1 and 2.
I mean, the first one worked and they were like, oh thank god, just go do it again.
No, I feel like the books itself are copycats, so like the movies were gonna end up being that way.
I mean, I think the second one is a little more narratively, first of all, it's like a murder mystery, which the first one isn't, right?
That part is definitely different, yeah, I admit.
So I remember, like, even back when I was, like, when I first read, I was like, yeah, what? Like, to the point where I was expecting more Harry Potter, and obviously I got more Harry Potter, but I was like, this is new, and this is, in a way, even better. Like, this is what, like, a follow-up should be, you know? It's like taking the story into, like, weird new directions and introducing new characters and, like, just entirely different tone also. It feels like it's similar because the movies have very similar tones, the first two, but the books don't. The books are much more, people say the third one becomes dark, but I would say the second one is quite dark. People, like a child is almost killed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there's obviously all the flashbacks with, Bacha Voldemort and like possessing Ginny Weasley and all that, which is all really messed up. But yeah, so the first two ones are, I would say, fairly standard. And Chris Columbus seems like, you know, he doesn't seem like a bitter guy, even though he says, I regret not coming back. but I'm guessing he's fine, you know, he's making probably like millions in residuals every year on these two. So. He tried to like do this again. Like, he did Percy Jackson and stuff.
Yeah, so they probably were like, oh, he worked with Harry Potter, so let's like try him again or something. Which was
sadly, Fox. It was sadly like Chris Columbus ka pura career hi ye hai, basically. Just like studio guy, you know. Mm-hmm. Someone who can just deliver.
Yeah, that's the other like annoying legacy of Harry Potter, right? Is that just like so many studios wanting to do like, oh, let's do like coming of age teenager stories now, like for fantasy, like endless like clones and copycats and attempts.
None of which worked.
Yeah, nothing.
None of which worked.
Like they were trying until 2 years ago. I'm sure they're still trying out there, but like until 2 years ago, we were still getting new properties. I was like, my God, Harry Potter is like, he got it. Like, let's move on to something new. But no, they were like, no, we'll still try.
Harry Potter had its run, the Harry Potter clones, and then Twilight came along, and then there was a whole run of Twilight clones, which was, I think, more intense than even Harry Potter. Like, more studios tried to cash in on Twilight than they did on Harry Potter. Because all those Divergent series and like beautiful creatures. Do you remember beautiful creatures?
Nope.
Like Alden, Aaron. So, and the ones with like Chloe Grace Moretz, there was one. And then there was obviously like 15, like If I Stay On. And then there was like 15 like vampire specific ones, you know? Just like vampires are like, just make vampire movies.
Yeah.
From now on. So that was way more. And I think Twilight movies have had.
Others copying it. Like, I mean, I think feel like they themselves doing it, right? The Fantastic Beasts series are like, I'm sorry, but like creatively and morally bankrupt copy of like just Harry Potter and like not even coming close to it at all.
But that was going to be, that is, I think, brings me to my biggest like disappointment with this whole
thing. Leaving a sour taste in the mouth, like properly. I mean, not just like making one and like being like, oh, we screwed up, let's move on. Or making two and we screwed up and let's move on. No, we will keep making until we get to the end.
वो कमिटमेंट हो गया ना बहुत ज़्यादा. नाउ इट्स जस्ट लाइक बैकिंग ऑफ एट दिस पॉइंट विल बी लाइक अ मैटर ऑफ प्राइड. लाइक हाउ लाइक वी कांट डू दिस.
व्हाट इज प्राइड? सो वी विल मेक 3 मोर कचरा मूवीज अंटिल देन वी विल मेक स्पिन ऑफ ऑफ समथिंग आउट ऑफ दैट बिकॉज़ वी विल नेवर गिव अप हैरी पॉटर.
बट होपफुली द थर्ड वन
नाउ इट्स विजिटिंग वर्ल्ड. नाउ इट्स नॉट हैरी पॉटर एनीमोर.
इट्स या इट्स ब्रांडिंग. यू नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड हाउ टू. बट नी सो माय thing beyond just like the Fantastic Beasts of it all, which the first one I didn't mind. I thought it was okay. The second one was terrible. And I have very little hope for the third one.
Yeah.
But my problem mostly with this whole Fantastic Beasts thing is that David Yates, he made 4 Harry Potter movies. Okay. And at that point I was like, wow, this is for this series to introduce David Yates to the world, someone who knows how to handle like huge big budget action. And also be like, so the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is a very weird movie. yeah, that there's very little action.
There's very little action. There's zero Hogwarts. Yeah. It's mostly about the trio. There's very little side characters.
It's a very like morose kind of movie.
Yeah, which I felt was probably makes me the reason why it makes me one of my favorite Harry Potter movies.
So it was just like, again, like, it's Yates, right? He's kind of reinventing the wheel that he has already reinvented. Yeah. And there's no reason for him to do that. You know, just nowadays, agar banta, they would have been like, please just stick to the formula. Please.
But I think that the reason he was able to do that is because it was split into two parts. Like, I think if it was just one movie, he would not have been able to experiment because he was like, oh, I would have to finish the story in this movie as well.
But I feel it's almost like the less logical sense because it's supposed to be.
No, let me get to the point. But I feel like it's like almost like a pre. Like, it's, we've seen it in Infinity War now, but it's like that thing, right? Where you like, you don't need to finish the movie here. You don't need to give a good ending here. So in a way, you can go darker, right? The movie ends with like the death of Dobby. Like, he's a hero. Like, stop, don't kill him. How dare you? But like, that's why I think the movie can get to those like depths, right? It can be like, oh, this look like all hope is gone. These guys can't find Horcruxes, let alone destroy Horcruxes. And then it like at the end, it's like the villain has the most powerful weapon in their hand now. And because like it's almost like showing them the world, right? Like, I think because it has to focus on these three, because if you show other people too much of how they are dealing with Voldemort, you just distract from the central issue, which is late teenagers now, almost approaching adulthood, are discovering and learning how terrible the real world really is. And which is why I think it has to get away from Hogwarts to like actually show us, look at this, they're out in the real world, it sucks.
Which is like perfect timing again for someone who's growing up on these movies and books. It's like, I remember at that point, I had my boards diye the, and it was just entering like DU or something. And I was like,
yeah, it's 2010 when the movie came out.
Yeah. And I was like, what? And then this like perfectly captures that sensation of being like out of school. You know, you're no longer protected. Yeah. Like, as terrible as school was, especially in Harry Potter in those final years, you know, with Voldemort lurking and Umbridges
and like Death Eaters like around every corner. Dementors.
Yeah. And like even Death Eaters. She hires like a Death Eater to teach them or something, no?
Yeah, and they show up as well in sixth year, so fair enough.
So it was kind of, it mirrored that sensation, right? Bahar aage, but like it's still like the Hogwarts was like a place of refuge. But that's why, so that's why I respect David Yates a lot, you know. I'm so disappointed that if he's done this or if he has been restricted, his entire career can't simply be just Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, like, even, I mean, because like, and that's why when you like said that, I'm also like, it's almost eating away at me when you say like he has so much respect, because like, I, looking at the Harry Potter movies, sure, like, I would say that, but then now I have like two Fantastic Beasts movies in my mind, and I'm just like, like, I'm losing my sense of respect, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Because I feel like, it's almost like in that sense, if you look at it, it's almost like a Game of Thrones situation, right? I feel like because there is like a lack of source material now, like Rowling is just coming up with things on the fly. She's just like sitting in a room and like, ye karte hain, wo karte hain. And this is like not enough like things to do. And then she like does like heel turns randomly, right? And these movies, like this, it's, I don't know why where the story is going. Like, there doesn't seem to be any larger plot to it. It's just like, oh, let's sketch out the backstory of like Dumbledore versus Grindelwald. And then we'll get there through this guy who likes creatures. I'm like, what? That's your into the story? This guy? I don't want to follow this guy. Why can't he follow someone else?
No. So my feeling is that it started off as a very Newt Scamander centric story, which is, I feel like, adequately whimsical and distinct and kind of different from Harry Potter. So it makes sense, you know. It's distinct. It's very weird. Like, the first one is, I would compare it to the first Hobbit movie.
And, yeah, half of it is like a Pokemon Go movie.
But uske baad, Rowling comes in and she's like, and maybe someone told her, they're like, listen, it's set in a particular time. You already have in Harry Potter books spoken about that particular time. It makes sense to kind of make this or retrofit this into more of a prequel thing. Now, the problem is she's kind of tied down by two things. First is Fantastic Beasts as a title. Like, how do you Which make a Harry Potter?
Worst, like, prefix ever. Like, it makes no sense. You write Fantastic Beasts and you write Crimes of Grindelwald. I'm like, they don't join together. Just because you put them together doesn't mean they join together.
So now she's shackled, right? Her movie has to be somehow Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts, because IP.
And she can't obviously immediately, like, suddenly discard her protagonist, Newt Scamander. She can't be like, I'm suddenly ye nahi hai.
Nahin, this is now a movie Jude about. Law is the center guy.
Yeah, Jude Law and ex Johnny Depp is now. This is a story about Grindelwald and Dumbledore, which would have been the logical way to kind of approach a prequel, but she didn't do it. So wo bhi nahi kar sakte. So what they're trying to do is now suddenly erase, like, characters who were supposed to be central in the first one, like all those like Tina Goldstein and like the Muggle dude with the bakery. Like, they're basically no longer involved. They just tag along people, right?
Yeah, they are tagging along. They're just like trying to expand the team so that they matter less and you can give them less screen time. They're like stacking people around Newt Scamander so it looks like they have less importance, even though they're his best friend or whatever.
Yeah, and now basically they have to kind of build up to see what they should have done was like kind of focus on their relationship, like Dumbledore and Grindelwald's relationship, because that's something that we already know about a little bit. And something we would be interested in seeing because it's like very interesting, something like, you know, old friends,
like two
lovers
at their peak, like they're also in their prime as well, right? Not just like old people.
Yeah, it could later be like a epic 5-movie like breakup saga if they did it correctly, ending with like this huge battle, right? But I don't know what's going to happen of these. I think it's good that she's being distanced from it. Like, I don't think she'll be back in any capacity.
You think she won't even get like the script, right?
So this one, the third one was initially delayed because the second one was poorly received, right? And then they were like, we want to rewrite.
You think they won't even like let her write the script anymore?
There's no chance in hell. I would even go so far as say that she is given us one of those silent, like, secret producer deals where she gets the money, but it's not.
Yeah, she will get the money because like they'll have to, otherwise they'll have to like pay her out of her contract.
Which is not going to be
possible. It's millions of dollars and they can't afford it.
But yeah, I don't think the fourth one will have her name anywhere on, because
yeah,
she's
they're trying the third one as well. They're like trying to like erase her name from the trailer because even though she has a credit and producer and writing credit.
Yeah, so that is something that you can negotiate in like she probably did not negotiate, right? Like a trailer mein bhi naam hona chahiye. So they got away with that. They've also got hired like Steve Kloves to kind of rewrite the script.
Yeah, Steve Kloves was like, yeah, he's a veteran on Harry Potter film, so it makes sense to bring him back.
Which is all smart moves. Now I think the next one, they're just, if this tanks, they're not going to make the next one. I don't know if they're going to make the next one.
But I feel like then in that way, like I go back, it's disheartening, but I'm going to go back to your comment, right? Now they're even more deeply invested. Like, teen bana diye, ab do hi to bache hain.
Do hi to bache hain. Like, paise to hain hamare paas.
Paise ki kami to nahi hai, matlab. Even though, like, profits are declining, like, on movie by movie, but, like, I think they'll just see it through the end. Because they'll be like, oh, but, like, imagine, now we can sell it as, like, Law versus, Jude Law versus, like, Matt Mikkelsen, like, battle ho raha hai proper in the fourth
one. Or you know what they'll do now? They'll do that. Obviously, they'll sell it as, like, oh, big battle movie. But they'll also be like, surprise, post-credit scene at the end of 4, Daniel Radcliffe is back. How?
We'll figure it
out. We'll figure it out. Or they'll just squeeze in like a Cursed Child movie in between the two Fantastic Beasts. So just to revive interest.
You never know. That could just happen. Yeah. Like, there's no way. Like, that's what I think. That's the big thing, right? They're not going to give it up. Because I feel like they need to like keep making movies to keep feeding their theme parks. Otherwise, how do you like... How do the theme parks be relevant otherwise, right? If you have no more movies, you like then the theme parks will sort of become like old stuff, right? Then people will go be like, "Ha, ye theme park hai, us franchise ke liye jo 10 saal purani hai." Like, kyun?
Haan. This is why like the Jurassic World movies exist.
Yeah, which is why like Marvel is like, that's why Marvel is getting theme parks now, because like Marvel is the biggest thing on earth. So like now it's feeding, like it's all like, it's all synergy. Like this has to feed into that.
I wouldn't be surprised if like HBO Max has like 15 different Harry Potter
like spin-off shows. Series, like some different era they're making it.
Yeah. Kuch bhi ho, they're making, like, they could be like,
because they want to explore everything now. Like, they'll leave nothing to like just people's imagination. They now, for all you know, they'll explore like the whole James and Lily Potter era also at one point.
No, I didn't forget James and Lily Potter were the central characters. They'll do a Saint Mungo's spin-off which is like ER.
And then they'll like Marvel, they'll do a animated short series about Dobby.
Oh God.
And see, we'll watch it also.
I will so watch it for sure. I watch Marvel stuff and I have no investment in it. I'll watch it twice.
So yeah, dark and depressing times ahead.
Dark and depressing times. But as Dumbledore said, you gotta learn how to remember how to turn on the light.
Yeah. Ron, where are you?
Hmm.
Ron needs to pull out his
Lumos.
Yeah. Okay, time to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, that's all for this episode of The Long Take. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at The Long Take Pod. You can write to us at thelongtakepod@gmail.com. Please leave us a rating and a review wherever you listen to this episode, and we will see you next week.